Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that place, that alternative location on the internet, to all those other things that will lure you into challenges that maybe you don't necessarily want to be. Kind of like going through a minefield type of thing. But the fact is that you've come here. This is where we talk about the real issues that men face. It's all about us being transparent, brutally honest, biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. That's what this thing is all about. And in the studio with me to help sharpen is the sharpener himself.
A new nickname. All right.
The man in brown, the sharpener. Oh, whatever. Eric is in the house. Good to have you, brother.
This is good to be here. Amen. Right. Beautiful day.
Whether it's raining or sunny, it doesn't matter.
Hey, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Man.
Honestly, sometimes it feels easier on certain days than others. But
anyway, we have a topic today that we're actually going to continue on where we were at last week. And we're talking about work in a sense. You know, hey, man in brown, we're talking about retail in a sense. We're going to talk about the workplace again. Last week we talked about, what was it, how to deal with certain situations.
Dealing with those frustrations at work.
Yeah, whether they be coworkers or bosses or yourself,
yeah.
How you handle things. But we're going to maybe give a little bit more application here to kind of continue on with that sort of thing. We'll do a little rundown to kind of go from there. But we always like to kind of kick things off with a little bit of encouragement. Now, we know that we have stealthy women. That's what we call the women who listen in. They listen in because they want to know what is going on with the man in their life. It might be their son or their brother. It might be their dad. It might be their husband. Okay. So the stealthy women are sometimes listening. Every now and then we get an email from them, okay? And I just want to say welcome to you also, okay? Anyway, so do you have any encouragement for those guys out there who are listening, brother?
I was thinking about the fact that, when a man and a woman are preparing to be married.
When a man loves a woman.
Are you done?
Anyway, yes.
All right. Okay. So a man and woman are planning to get married. If you're to ask the man, how long have you been planning this wedding? He'd say, well, man, it's been like 3 or 4 months now. You know, you ask the woman how long she's been planning the wedding. She's like, since I was 4.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Yes.
You know, us men and women, we just have completely different views of marriage. We really do. You know, the guy will view marriage as the finish line.
Exactly.
The woman views marriage as the start line.
Exactly.
You know, and so that's why it actually creates, you know, tensions in our marriage because, you know, they have a different view of what it's going to be like
right.
than we do. You know, I fell prey to the idea that, you know, I get married, I put my feet up and get taken care of or something. I don't, like, that was, you know, the finish line was there.
You expect them to peel the grapes, too, right?
Peel the grapes and, you know. But, you know, I quickly learned that, man, when we get married, our courtship is not over.
Yes.
We actually get to
yes.
continue to court our wives and to be honorable to them, to I guess it really comes down to chivalry, you know, to hold the door, to open the car door, you know, to drive that long journey without complaining about how much your backside hurts. And boy, I wish I could sit in the other seat because
yes.
Because that one's more comfortable, you know, all these different things. And, you know, and really, guys, to date our wives, because mm-hmm. that's something that we really tend to drop the ball on.
Yeah,
we forget that, you know, the courtship never ends. It's a day-to-day thing, and if we neglect the fact that that our wives still desire to be courted, to know that they are a desirable person, that, mm-hmm. that we long to be in their company. Mm-hmm. So my encouragement to you guys is, you know, let's go that extra mile. Let's act like we did before we were married, because mm-hmm. we were, you know, trying to win the heart of this woman. And That's we right. did things differently right. then than we do now, because I reached the finish line, right?
Right, right.
No.
Yeah.
That's not the way it works.
You know, it's funny that you're mentioning this. We, Debbie and I, we did a co-ed teaching last night, and it was on understanding your spouse, or getting your spouse to understand you. And this came up also as part of the teaching, but also there, yesterday on the air, Felix and I were talking about this in a segment, one of the emails that we had done. And he had brought up something which I had heard about before, but I just haven't thought about it in a long time. And he says, you know, we're wired as men, okay? We're wired differently than women. We are all in agreement there, right? One's from Mars, one's from Venus, okay? We are all in agreement there. They right. speak a different language. We have to learn to get to understand. And so it requires certain things. But men are wired in a manner not only as protectors and providers and teachers and lovers, okay, but we're also conquerors, okay. And when if you look at anything that is conquered, when you've won that, it's done. I've conquered it. That is mine.
And yeah, then we display it as a trophy.
Display it as a trophy, in a sense. And that's what happens with in our marriages. You seek this beautiful person, this lovely person who loves you, cares about you, and you care about her, and you're going to do everything you can. You just want to win this. You want to win her, okay? But not so much as a trophy. In some cases, that might be the case, but I'm just talking in general, that we are actually seeking to live the lifetime on this earth with her, to have a family together, and to be able to, to just grow together and grow old together, right? That's the ideal. But what ends mm-hmm. up happening is that we've conquered. We've got it. That's why sometimes, like you said, it's where I sit back and just put my feet up and just ready to say, okay, my work is done,
That's right.
And then go from there. But really, it is, we are to be a new creation in Christ each and every day, okay? Mm-hmm. To be more like Jesus. Jesus was told us to love our wives as he loves the church. Man, he died for us, man. It's because of his blood we are redeemed. And,
amen.
You know, so we end up having to, you know, when we start looking at the real reason that things are taking place, it's not because, oh, it's a beautiful day and I got all these things I got to do and so on and so forth. No. What it really is that, what is it, Lord, that you want me to do today? Mm-hmm. You know, what is it you want me to do? And he's going to let us know. He's going to say, love those that are in your life. You know? Think yeah. of them more highly than yourself.
Yeah. And if he's saying something different, that's not the voice of the Lord that you're
hearing.
No,
absolutely not. So anyway, but I throw that in there because I love that. That was very, very cool about the, you know, men are looking forward to, this is the end, right? You know, and yeah. when you said that, I said, ding, that's what this thing is about, the conquering, you know, since it's all over with. So if any of the stealthy women are listening, be patient with us. You know, we thank you for your patience and compassion, yes. and understanding as close as you possibly can. But you know what? Many of us are to try to let other men know that, hey, it's not about just being over with and having a trophy. It's about taking that, nurturing that, and creating a community of family of yours, right? To be able to be loved and guided by the spiritual man in your life, and that's your husband, and or in this case here, your significant other. So anyway.
Yeah, I just have to say that I love so much that you put in, please be patient with us.
Yes.
Because I'll tell you, from my own personal experience, Raul, it was the better part of 20 years before I figured that out.
Yeah. Yeah,
boy, what a patient wife I have. Praise God.
Yes, yes,
praise
you do.
God for her patience.
Yep, yep. And she looks better every year as a result of her patience, too.
Oh, man.
You know?
She warms my heart.
There you go. All right.
Amen.
You don't have it. No, that's you already had your anniversary. Yeah, it was last month, wasn't it?
Yeah, last month. Yep.
Look at that. I remember. I remember the things that. Yeah. Anyway, whatever. It's all good.
Yeah.
So what do we do now? Oh.
There's.
Yeah,
oh.
we got a radio show to go on to.
Radio show. Oh yeah.
So yeah, we're sitting here giving each other kudos for hey, nice job. Wow, nice job.
Good job, Raul. All right.
Thank you, Eric. Nice job yourself. Okay, so let's talk about this workplace situation. Because last week we, and this is something that that we've all dealt with, everything from, excuse me, being accepted to at the workplace, you know, when you first get a job and you're trying to get accustomed to everything and how things are. As a follower of Jesus, you come to find out very quickly the workplace is a place where not everyone is following you. Where you're following Jesus, in
right.
a sense, right?
Uh-huh.
You're not on the same page. And sometimes that can create challenges, okay? And sometimes that can create new relationships, you know? But it does create new opportunity for new relationships too, okay? And but sometimes it's not so much, not so as easy as it seems. And you can talk it, you know, but to really walk it is something else, right? And yet we end up in places where foul language is used, coarse jokes are given and heard amongst people, and that people laugh, you know, for whatever reason. And sometimes deceit and things where, you know, the managers don't necessarily see it or something that takes place, and you're going, man, how should I handle this? If I did that, they're going to, you know, blah, 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 blah. So many different things in the workplace that as a follower of Jesus, you're going to be highlighted as a result of that, depending on how much you're willing to share, right?
Right. And you know, I think about the fact that, you know, in the workplace, I don't want somebody to someday come up to me and say, oh, you're a Christian? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to be that, I want to be that guy that is a shining example for Christ.
Yeah. You know, I had that happen to me. I was I'm in sales, right? I'm at the radio station, and this person that was there for, I mean, I was there for well over a year anyway, and this person I worked not with all the time, but yeah, I remember him saying when he heard, said, I hear you go to this church. And he goes, yeah. He said, well, I didn't know that you were Christian. Just kind of an impact. He wasn't making a point of that, but mm-hmm. he said that in everything else he was saying. And it, but that was like a dagger.
Right.
I go, oh my gosh, you know, you didn't know I was, you know, I'm sitting there going, what does that mean? You know, now it wasn't because I was acting like a heathen in a sense, right? But I wasn't promoting, you know, I might've been a nice guy and not saying certain things, but I was not necessarily anyway, saying anything that would say, hey, I know somebody you don't know.
Well, earlier you were talking about how, you know, we can have deceptions in
yes.
the workplace. And it makes me think about this passage that I was reading in Proverbs. And as I read this passage, I was thinking, gosh, how much does this reflect the workplace, you know, both on my part and on the part of others? Right, so I'm just going to read this, and then we can maybe talk about it as it applies to the workplace. It's Proverbs chapter 6, starting at verse 16. Boy, those numbers are small. Okay, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him.
Ooh.
Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. Yeah, so as I'm reading that, I'm thinking, okay, I've seen that, I've done that.
Experienced
that, exactly. And I was thinking about, okay, haughty eyes. What's haughty eyes? What does that mean?
They're not cold?
Oh, I see what you did there.
Okay. Those would be wandering eyes and eyes of that would bring deceit and discord?
I cross-referenced it to Psalm 101. There's a reference to it. Mm-hmm. And Psalm 101 mm-hmm. Likens it to pride and arrogance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how arrogant do we tend to be? How prideful?
Those are also known as rolling eyes.
Rolling eyes, okay.
I mean, think about it. When you're talking with your spouse and she says something to you and you go, oh, yeah, right.
And that is arrogance.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Thinking that we know all the answers and everybody else is an idiot.
Yes.
Which in my case is true.
It all comes out here on Band Brothers Radio.
No, I don't mean that seriously, but we all have that tendency that that we automatically assume that we're right and mm-hmm. And one of the main things about humility is being teachable. Now, if we're, always prideful and arrogant and rolling our eyes like, oh, you're such an idiot, there's a chance that, that I'm wrong about some things.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, I know that I'm wrong about some things because I change my mind on things all the time.
So in the workplace, a lot of times this can come across as someone who has been there longer than you have, right? There's a sort mm-hmm. of a senior mentality that, hey, I've been here longer, so I know more of what's going on around here than you can even imagine. And so if you need anything, you need to come see me, and I'll let you know whether that's something you could do or not or whatever, right? It's sort of like having that attitude that, hey, my time here qualifies me to be better than you. Not that you're so much a better worker. And by the way, don't work so hard as a new guy. Okay, because they're going to be expecting us, who've been here a lot longer, to start working as hard as you are. So ease down a little bit. Kind of temper it down.
Tone it down so I don't look so bad.
No. So you have enough energy for the whole day, for the whole week. Come on. You know that it takes place. I don't care if you're working on computers or working on a assembly line or you're delivering packages, whatever it is. You will get that on time. Hey, man, why are you trying to look one better than me or what? They take it personal, because you have a different work ethic, right?
Right. It's kind of funny how you're talking about, I've been there longer. I know how to do this better than you. It makes me think about my father when, he's retired now, but when he was working, he was a civil engineer for the state, and he was showing one of the new employees the ropes and teaching them about doing this and teaching them about this aspect of civil engineering. And my father had been in the field for a long time and never really formally schooled in or anything. Well, then he learns shortly after that this young kid who has just come in and working under him actually has his doctorate in civil engineering.
Oops.
Oops.
Yeah. So often we just don't realize and we think that, it is. That's just it right there. We don't think before we speak sometimes, And if we did pause for a moment before we said anything about whatever it is that we plan on saying, and we might think twice about whether to share something or not, in a sense. And we see that especially with guys who end up saying something to us. Hey, I understand that you go to church at that big old church down on the corner downtown. What do you guys do there? Right? You ever been approached that way before?
Sure.
Many guys have, How do you deal with that sort of thing? We're going to take a break. When we come back, we want to talk about some of the applications, some of the things that we can do in not necessarily defeating these that are in questioning us in our belief, but how do we come alongside and be able to let them know that they have the opportunity to see things differently, maybe even the same way we do. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
If you're a man that is struggling with alcohol, drugs, pornography, money issues, gambling, there is hope for you. On Monday nights, we have Valiant Warriors, and I invite you to come and check this out. You will come to learn very quickly that you're not alone in your challenge, that there's no judgment nor condemnation. A group of men who are willing to say, I need help. If you live in Whatcom County, come and check us out on Monday nights, every Monday night at 6 p.m. You will not regret it, because there is hope and you can break free. For more information, go to bandofbrothersforchrist.org and click on Valiant Warriors.
The Carolyn Merriman Show, featuring licensed therapist Carolyn Merriman.
There's a little truism, a saying that I find to be true most of the time, that overreactions are old reactions. Something from your past that's not resolved yet. It's either some loss you haven't finished grieving, some injustice that hasn't in your mind been made right or forgiven or something. I would really love for you to look at your triggering events as gifts from the Lord to help you get over those things. You say, well, he pushes my buttons. Well, let's have the buttons get removed or unpressible.
Yes. Yeah. The Carolyn Merriman Show, podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
So many Americans are struggling. They are desperate for hope. That's why we developed the Biblical Advice Talk Shows here at faithplace.org, featuring Band of Brothers Radio, The Debbie Chavez Show, and The Carolyn Merriman Show.
Well, it's definitely been an inspiration.
I drive a lot for work, so I download podcasts and I listen to them while I'm driving.
I just get encouraged.
I just feel like I learn something every day.
If you've been helped through our internet talk show ministry, please make it possible for us to continue reaching out with the hope of Christ. Make a tax-deductible donation by clicking on the purple Donate button at faithplace.org.
You're taking me deeper. You're making me whole. With grace you redeem me, yeah. You restore my soul. Now I'm made new because of you. Yeah! You hold my head up. You remind me.
Wanted to hear more and more and more.
Yeah, you're all about that bumper music. You're just like, you know, just play more bumper music.
Sometimes it just gets me going. I love music. I love dancing. I love moving around to the rhythm. It just, yeah. I love watching.
And sitting on the other side of the desk from you, I see that quite often.
Yes, okay. And I attempt to sing every now and then, but it's a joyful noise, and some of you guys put up with it. Some of you guys turn it off or whatever. But anyway. I love watching a couple of things. American Idol with my wife. I love watching, listening to The Voice too, because I love some of these songs. The ways these young kids can turn them around a little bit and just add a little something to them, and it gets me going. So, you know, I love that sort of thing. So anyway, love music. So,
you know, I'll tell you one thing that that was actually, we can actually apply this American Idol thing.
Oh.
Because the fact is that, you know, you love music, you love making a joyful noise. And what you mean by that is that you sing, it's off key, but God doesn't care because he's looking at the song that's coming from there.
A little pitchy.
No, with you, it's completely off key. God bless you, Raul. All right.
Okay.
Word to the wise. Don't say something like that when Raul's trying to take a drink of water.
Take a drink of water. It's like, okay, you almost got spewed all over you.
But the thing is, Raul, is I like the fact that you didn't say that you resent the kids who have this incredible gift to be able to sing with such beauty.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, which is an easy thing to do. We can come to resent somebody who's better at something than we are, something that we long to do.
Yes. And it happens in the workplace all the time.
It happens in the workplace.
We always think that because of, for whatever reason, that, man, you feel intimidated. you feel like you're going to be less than. They're going to get highlighted more than me. Mm-hmm. And now they become, after all these things my head has said about them, right, that I should try to do what I can to one-up them, so to speak, right?
Right. And I'll tell you, in my own personal experience, you know, there's one guy that works at UPS who is just, I don't know how, but he is just incredibly fast at what he does.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go on vacation, I'm always thinking, boy, I sure hope they don't put this guy on my route because he'll make me look bad. Honestly, that goes through my head.
That's what you got to tell us. Hey, buddy, if you take my route while I'm gone, you need to take it easy. Okay, my people to expect packages at a certain time.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we worry about getting the things like, well, why can't you be more like such and such?
Right, right.
You know? I don't know. My legs just don't go that fast. I don't know.
Yeah. So what it comes down to, in a sense, when you feel like you're being that you could be replaced or not as highlighted as someone else who's maybe more effective or efficient than you are at what you do, maybe the thing to do is to encourage them of saying, you know what, you do things really well. I've noticed you since you've been here that you're able to do things not only quickly, but effectively and with few mistakes.
Yeah. Can you help me to understand how you do that?
Exactly. There you go. That's the question right there. Can you help me understand how you do that? Would you mind sharing that with me? And you know what? Now the guy may, whether he wants to share it with you or not, he may say to you, if you're an older guy, well, I'm just younger than you, you know, and which might have a little something to do with it. But yet the point is that now you've, in a sense, you've won him over to be able to converse with him. You know, he may say, I don't have time to talk about it right now because I've got to get going. And I see what you're trying to do. You're trying to slow me down by talking to me. That's what he's going to say to you, right? And so he's going to get back to work because that's what he's getting paid to do, to work, not talking to you about how he's so effective. And
that's, well, you know, there's always somebody who's going to be better at us than some, you know, there's always going to be somebody who's better at, you know, at golfing than the, you know, as soon as you have a best golfer, well, then he gets beaten or somebody else that's better. You know, there's always going to be somebody who's better at, you know, the editor at editing.
Yes.
There's always going to be something better, but you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I noticed that when I go out and say I'm playing tennis with somebody, if I'm playing tennis with somebody who's better at tennis than I am, it actually pushes me to be better.
Right.
If I'm playing tennis with somebody who's not as good as I am, well, I often tend to play, you know, down to that level.
Right.
So, and I'm actually a lousy tennis player, but I'm using the analogy just that it's good to have people who are better at us at what we do, because it drives us.
Absolutely. And it's a proven fact. You use the golf as an example already. We'll continue on with that one. When I play golf with three men, okay, that are better than me, I play better. I play better. I take my time. I play better. When I play with three guys who don't play as well, if I'm the best or close to the best of all of them, I just do not play very well at all. Oh my gosh! You know, but
I'm sorry. I'm being mean to you today.
That's all right. It's TGIF. It's okay. But anyway, but this is something that is truly that actually that we can take a look and see what is it about that sort of thing. Now, with men, we take pride into the things that we do. And we think that when somebody is better at it, we take it personal. I guess that those who look up to me to be able to do this, I hope they don't see him working because they're going to think that I don't do very well or that I'm not any good or there's somebody better than me. It's just a prideful thing. Yeah. You know, my pride gets in the way. And if I put it on my sleeves, it's going to get hurt. It's going to be bleeding all the time.
And that applies to that haughty eyes, you know, where we have this arrogance and we think that we're better. It's a very prideful thing. So really, you know, the answer to that is to be that humble spirit. Yes. And like we said, you know, we can go to the person and say, can you help me to understand how it is that you do the job so effectively, instead of being prideful and maybe trying to tear them down behind their back or things like that, you know. So that gives us the opportunity to, you know, to be humble.
Yes.
and that's a difficult thing in the workplace. So it's a difficult thing at all times.
We think sometimes we're trying to protect our own, in a sense. You know, my family relies on me being able to work and be able to be good. If I'm not good enough, they may look at replacing me or whatever it is, right? We just end up thinking certain ways and thinking that, how's that going to affect it? What's that going to mean for me? What am I going to look like? And what's the repercussions going to be? My family's going to be without me working, and, you know, they're going to be affected, and so on and so forth, which kicks into the net. And one of the other things that Jesus or God is looking at that he hates, and that's a lying tongue. Mm-hmm. How often do we do that at the workplace? Oh, just a little white lie, just to be able to get by or to be able to, you know, are you able to do this? Oh, yeah, no problem.
Oh, yeah.
When it might be a problem. But you're going to work it out between now and the time you got to have it done, right?
Right. Or we, you know, fudge the numbers a little bit to make ourselves look better.
Yes.
Or there may be, you know, the guy that who's faster that you resent. Well, you start spreading rumors about the fact that, oh, well, you know, he's cutting corners over here.
Yeah.
He's not doing this by the book.
Right. Right.
You know, and I don't have any reason to be saying that at all. I just cut them down with lies because I just want to make myself look better, right?
And it's part of what is part of the line is also the gossip. Hey, did you know that he actually does this, and he actually is the owner's nephew? Then he's put in here. He's probably more of a spy than anything else, than a worker. And so we got to be careful what you do around him and all of the, you know, all these type of things.
Yeah. Right? Well, a lot of times the frustrations come from the fact that there may be lies that are being said about us.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, that's a major frustration. How do you get people to stop telling lies about you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? I can't get anybody to do anything. I can't make anybody according to any sort of image that I would have them be. Right. I can't. It's just not possible.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that I can do, Raul, is that I can be mindful of the fact that Jesus is living in me and I have been called to live in a certain way. Mm-hmm. And that when he tells me that I need to be aware of my lying tongue and to repent of that.
Right.
Well, then that's what I can do. Right. I can clean my side of the street. And it might be, Raul, that that people see that my side of the street is nice and clean. Well, I want my side of the street to look like his side of the street.
Yeah.
You see, we're able to affect our workplace environment in that way. You know, I might not be able to make somebody stop lying, mm-hmm. but through integrity and not having that lying tongue myself, Lord willing, it can draw people to that. You know, the joy of the Lord is contagious.
Right.
And as we serve him, you know, we have that joy.
Let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk about this thing on how the workplace can make us feel so insecure. Okay. And as men, we don't like to admit that we're insecure. Right. So we'll do everything possible to be able to guard from others perceiving us that way. That's kind of weak, don't you think, Eric? We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Be all that God designed you to be. Band of Brothers Radio reminds you to check the For Men Only tab at faithplace.org for daily tips on becoming better husbands and fathers.
Ah, the brisk days of winter. It's cold enough in the hills that the trout are already tap dancing. But it's warm and cozy in my kitchen, and my nose is in the wind with the tantalizing aroma of a Hempler's ham in the oven. Serve with some mashed potatoes and cornbread on the side, and you're talking about pure heaven. Now, I know some of you are worried about additives and nitrates and such. Some of you are as nervous about that as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. But here's the thing. Hempler's makes it very easy to eat healthy. Choose an all-natural Hempler's ham. These hams have no nitrate, and they're completely free of phosphates, artificial color, and other chemical preservatives, just like Mama used to bake. To order any of the delicious Hempler's meats online for your family, go to Hemplers.com.
A little disappointed with your current internet provider? Perhaps it's time to check out StarTouch Broadband Services. StarTouch is the Pacific Northwest's largest high-speed wireless internet provider, serving residential, business, and government entities in several Northwest states. With StarTouch, there are no latency issues, and there's no limit to the number of users. Find out more about how StarTouch can benefit you and get a free quote at StarTouch.com. StarTouch, serving the Northwest since 1998. Owners and managers of businesses are always looking for a good way to spread the message about their product or service. Well, we invite you to try advertising on our talk shows here at faithplace.org. We have very engaged listeners, and we keep the cost of advertising super low. When you partner with us, you'll receive a commercial on each one of our shows, Band of Brothers Radio, The Debbie Chavez Show, and The Carolyn Merriman Show. And when you advertise with us, you'll not only help your business, but you'll be helping this ministry continue on. We're so excited to hear from listeners all around the world who are being inspired to put their trust in Jesus Christ. For more information about advertising on our talk shows, simply email info@faithplace.org. Yep, that's info@faithplace.org.
There's a struggle, it's God and the devil, it's love against the enemy. Giving up now. Whoa, oh, oh, oh. Life's a fight of wrong and right that's tearing me apart. Oh, but what the cross has done. Yeah, the world will try to battle for my heart, but the war is already won.
Welcome back. Band Brothers Radio, and Eric and I, we're talking about, we were reading out of Proverbs 6 of the seven things that are abomination to God, okay, and things that he hates. And we thought this applied to the workplace, which it does, on things that that can take place there, right?
Right.
And what we, whether we give that or we receive it, either way. But how do we handle these type of things? And, you know, one of them here says, and hands that shed innocent blood. Okay.
Well, thank goodness, because I've never murdered anybody at work. So so I'm good there.
Yeah. Well, here's where I'm just going to, this might hit home. Maybe not. Have you ever gossiped?
Are you asking me?
I'm looking right at you.
Okay. I was hoping this was a rhetorical question.
This is not rhetorical. I wouldn't say this is rhetorical.
Yes, I have.
Okay.
I hurt somebody.
And I have too. That's shedding innocent blood. That's shedding innocent blood, okay? And gossip is such a workplace. It's just like part of the plumbing in the building, wherever, you know? It's part of it. Everyone thinks it's a normal thing. Go to the water cooler. Everyone uses the water cooler, so they're like, everyone's going over to get a drink of water, you know? And they say, hey, did you hear about what's going on? Now, we do it even as Christians. You talk to another Christian at work through prayer. Hey,
yeah.
We need to pray for, what's his name? Because, you know, he's
oh,
got
boy,
this
those,
going
those
on.
Prayer chains can yes. become just gossip chains.
Oh, exactly. So that's part of, you know, how do you keep from doing that sort of thing? Well, we're going to get to that here toward the end. But, I mean, a big part of what ends up taking place is that's what it is, man. You don't have to be a murderer, but you are, you know, you're taking our brother out. You're taking a man out. Mm-hmm. He may not be a brother yet, but he's going to be further from it when he finds out that you are part of keeping this fire going, in a sense, right?
Well, I do want to talk about that a little bit because of the fact that, you know, gossip. I have gossiped, and there's one specific instance where I actually really hurt somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go to that person. I had to ask for forgiveness.
Right.
And it was a real learning experience for
yes.
me. And, you know, because of that, you know, having gone through that, you know, I've been able to, you know, to develop more godly character.
Yes.
Not saying that I have arrived.
I understand.
But, you know, since then, you know, I've made it a real point that, you know, I am not going to participate in this gossip. Mm-hmm. And it's actually an opportunity to exemplify Christ and to stand out in the workplace as somebody who's going to be different. I had somebody come to me and said, hey, did you hear about such and such? And I think that he's going to, you know, that he and his wife are having, and I said, wait, hold it, stop. Stop. If he wants me to know about this, he will come and tell me himself. And so, and I stopped this gossip that was coming at me right there. Well, you know what? I now have a relationship with that person, and he sees me as somebody who's different. Yes. And somebody who can be confided in.
You can be trusted.
And somebody who is actually, you know, seeking Jesus because he knows that I'm a Christian. And, you know, and he comes to me with questions and he comes to me with his hurts and his concerns. So, I mean, by doing that, you know, I have established a relationship that wouldn't have been there before.
Right. And what you're sharing is so important. Some people may sit there and say, if they're sitting back and listening to you share, they say, well, isn't that kind of not very humble of you talking about yourself and all these things that you've got? But no, truly, to be able to share what takes place, how Jesus, see, our testimonies are what Jesus does through us.
Exactly.
And in sharing that, it's not talking about you, all of a sudden you're a better person. You are going to be maturing. Okay, more like Christ, because that's what we're supposed to be heading toward. We're supposed to be holy. We're supposed to be perfect. Okay, we're supposed to be striving for those things. Mm-hmm. And it's not about saying, oh, yes, I've arrived and so on and so forth. And you've already said that. The glory goes to God.
Amen.
For what he's doing in and through us. That's who gets the glory. Yeah. Eric's not taking the glory. He's giving it to God. And that's really what ends up taking place. And what happens is that when others see this, they may come up to you and say, hey, Eric, you got time for coffee after work or on Saturday, you know, when we're not working, you want to go hit some golf balls? And he may have some questions he might want to talk to you about. I have a question. Why do you act like this, man? This is really kind of different. It's different than the norm. That's what you're praying for. Opportunities to be able to let others know about more about Jesus as a result of how we live in the workplaces we're talking about here, right? So another one that comes to mind here is a heart that devises wicked plans. You know what? We've all had that. You know, you know the way the management is around here. They need to understand something, that we're not just going to take it like this. So we got a meeting we're going to do a little bit later, Eric. We'd like you to be a part of it, you know. And, you know, these are the type of things where all of a sudden you know this something good is not going to come from this, right? That there's something that is not going to be good.
Yeah, and it says elsewhere in Proverbs, I can't remember where, but the Lord detests uneven scales.
Yes.
Where we measure things inaccurately on purpose in order to deceive somebody, in order to, you know, to get something that we don't deserve, you know, in order to get more money out of somebody for a service or a product, or, you know, these uneven scales are... you know, basically to try and get something that doesn't belong to us. It's theft.
Yes.
You know, and the same thing happens in our relationships where, you know, we do devise wicked plans.
Yes, yes.
You know, am I going to be a part of that? Or, you know, is it, or am I going to use this as a springboard for a conversation about what Jesus has done in my life? You know, which is, that can come up all the time.
Right.
You know, now, that raises another question. Do I do this on company time?
Yes.
Or do I say, hey, you know what? I would like to talk to you later. And because we can actually steal from our company by doing something like this on company time.
Right.
I work for a company. I'm being paid a fair wage for work done. Right. Now, if I'm doing something else other than the work that I'm getting paid to do, then I am, in a sense, stealing from the company. So there's a time and place for everything.
Right.
So I just want to make that clear to the guys.
And just because they say we'll get to talk about this at lunch so that we stay in right proper ways with the company does not necessarily mean that that's going to be a good thing still. So anyway. Another one that he mentions to us, feet that make haste to run to evil. Okay, so what does that look like? Well, I think in the workplace, that's kind of like Yeah, let's just do a construction site. Say you're building a skyscraper downtown somewhere, right? And you're a construction, and you happen to be in an area where there's a lot of people going to work, traveling. They're using the bypass, sidewalks, everything else. And you notice, a good-looking woman or somebody else says, hey, look what's coming or whatever, you know. And you look up and you go, oh, and all of a sudden now you kind of, you know, want more of a look. And you know, there's this lust of the flesh that you're going toward and stuff. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, you start looking everywhere and you're not paying attention to what you're doing. Okay. Where all of a sudden now what you're really doing is you're running to evil. You're looking for that. Oh, man, look how the sun's out. It's warmer now than it was earlier. Man, I'm just, you know, and now that's really, in a sense, you're running toward that, temptation, that desire in us to satisfy our whatever.
And the same thing works for the lust of money.
Yes.
In the workplace, really, it's all, you know, it's all dollar signs.
Yes.
You can always follow the dollar signs to try and figure out why something is happening in the workplace. And that lust for money, that greed, that pride of life, that can cause us to commit all sorts of evil.
Well, you're talking not just about the money itself. Money's important. Money is not bad. It's the love of money.
That's where I was going.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I just tried to speed it up a little bit. So, anyway.
Yes, it is the love of money
that
is the root of all sorts of evil. It's not the money itself.
Yes.
Having money is not necessarily an evil thing.
But when you do everything possible to get as much of it as possible, knowing that you're going to get power, property, and prestige as a result of it.
You know? If you have feet that run to that evil,
then. Great example. How about one that false witness who breathes out lies? That's pretty similar to having a lying tongue, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The thing is about lying is that it really is you don't have to do that. That you just don't have to go there, you know?
Right. And I unfortunately found by experience that when you tell one lie, you often have to tell another one to cover up the first lie. And then I have to tell another lie, and then I have to tell another lie to somebody else. And pretty soon I can't keep my lies straight. And guess what? You're going to get found out for your lies. And I'll tell you, there's a big difference between making an honest mistake at work and lying to cover it up.
Yes.
I'll tell you, and again, I know from experience, unfortunately, that there is not a good response to lying to cover up mistakes.
Yes.
But when we own up to something and are honest about it, then there's a completely different response.
All right.
You know, we can lose our jobs.
Yep.
For lying.
Yep.
If you're a business owner, you can lose your business for having a lying practice, for deceiving people. You know, Better Business Bureau come down, shut you down. You know,
another one, that last one here that mentions who sows. And the one who sows discord among brothers. That's continuing on, just trying to tear everybody down or getting everybody to talk negatively about something that concerns the workplace. The workplace is a breeding place. I mean, most guys spend more awareness of their day at work than they do anywhere else. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is just like a breeding ground for the enemy to be able to do so much negative. Here's the deal. It really comes down to Jesus says to love me above all things first, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay. And the second, that he was telling the Pharisees, the second is like it, to love others like you love yourself. So truly, if you love Jesus, if you're seeking him, you don't have to worry about what anybody else is going to think. He's going to provide for you. Who knows? Maybe he has something in store better than what you're doing right now. But when you're doing these things, guess what? He's going to end up giving you opportunity to be able to see and to learn so that you don't fall in these traps all the time. He's the one that will actually give you a way.
Yes. And these trials that we go through, they lead to the development of perseverance.
Amen. All right, brother. Well, we didn't come close to finishing it up, but you know what? That's the way it is this time. How about you pray for our brothers who are listening right now?
All right. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have given us the opportunity to work for you, Father, for your kingdom. Make us mindful of who you are. Make us mindful of the fact that salvation is found in Jesus alone, and make us followers of you in wisdom and in truth. Amen.